Welcome to the show. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them in a bit.
Hey, there we are. Look, it all happens nice and automatically, and there's our overlay in the background that I forgot to take off. But anyways, there we go. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, the Daily Cog, your source for madness. That's all really madness, what yeah. It is. All sorts of madness. And, you know, great thing about madness is it makes for really good TV sometimes. And I think we could talk a couple minutes without stepping on Marvel Multiverse Mondays, Loki Thursdays, which I will be publishing very shortly after we're done with this broadcast. Manny, I really enjoyed the first episode of Loki, like, a lot.
So you know what's interesting about, for me, I actually had to watch two episodes before I really fell in love with it.
Really?
The first episode, I almost felt like it was like a ripoff of Legends of Tomorrow that they were going to start making.
That's what Nick said.
And so it took me out of it a little bit. And it took a little bit more of the development of the relationship between Owen Wilson's character and Hiddleston. Mm-hmm. That finally I was like, okay, yeah, this is great. I really like this. Also, the flipping Loki's character, where he's no longer in control or in power, is a very interesting place to put him and for us to see him. So that's what I love. I'm going to be real. I think if they put any other Marvel character so far that we've seen in the MCU, minus tell you Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., I think Owen Wilson steals this show.
He really did. One of my favorite aspects of this show, and I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but one of the biggest questions was we didn't quite know. We knew the Loki that we were going to at least be starting with was mm-hmm. the 2012. I just, you know, suffered my real first loss. Yeah, he loses in the first Thor movie, but he didn't have an army behind him. You know, that was a solo plan. I'm going to let people try to kill someone and then pretend to be the savior type. But here he had Thanos backing him. Here he thought he was going to be the shit, and he loses. And so everyone was like, well, what are we going to see? But they actually, the Loki that you get at the end of Infinity War is completely different. And I will say that I thoroughly enjoyed them showing us the Loki that we are going to follow, the way that they did that without spoiling it. They do show us in the first episode, I think, the Loki that we're going to follow. And I really did enjoy the catalyst and the events that led to that. This almost plays out, even though they use a lot of Endgame scenes, it almost plays out like Endgame with certain realizations happening. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it like I said, it took me twice to watch it, and then to especially the second episode. So the cool thing is, if you like the first episode, you're gonna I think further fall in love with it next week.
Yeah. And so, to the people that just, you know, posted spoilers in the thing, you know, please don't do that. Come on now. It's only been a day since since people have had a chance to see the show. So that's why we're not talking spoilers on this show. But if you do want to talk all the spoilers you want, Marvel Multiverse Mondays, Loki Thursdays, Nick and I's podcast will be up in a few few hours, and that is a full spoiler discussion. So please join us over there and spoil away over there, but not here on the Daily Cog, please. Owen Wilson, I don't know what it is about him this time, but dude, he seems to not be as Owen Wilson-ish. It's weird. He still is, but it's like better Owen Wilson-ness. Does that make sense?
Why? Because he's in a Marvel property?
No, like his legitimate his normal mannerisms. I guess maybe it's the character that he's playing.
That's what I was going to tell you.
Mannerisms are fitting so great that it just, instead of it being like, oh, that's Owen Wilson, it's like, oh, that's Mobius. I like that.
Nah, it's still Owen Wilson. This is like one of those Keanu Reeves, Will Smith things where no matter what character Owen Wilson's going to play, he's Owen Wilson.
But this time it matched. That's what I'm saying. This time it matches real well.
He was almost able to relax with this character because he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He's like an office guy. He doesn't feel work very much or whatever. Yeah. He's not, you know, Shanghai Noon Owen Wilson. He doesn't need to be super funny or anything. He's just trying to save the multiverse, I guess.
And now that's the only thing this kind of be the last little bit on Loki, that was the way that they decided to use the words timeline and multiverse have potential contradictions with the way the multiverse has been explained in things like the Doctor Strange, what they thought was a multiverse, but it's just 9 different planets basically within our own universe in the 9 realms in Thor the Dark World. But there is some nomenclature and some possible issues with the terms that they used. And I'm going to be interested to see what happens in the end and how much of an effect this ends up having on the MCU, because it could be quite a bit, man. Or mm-hmm. really they could be, because of the way time works, they could really make this a like focused tiny thing, but I think the repercussions are going to be pretty big.
Dude, there's been nothing the past 2 shows. I'm not holding my breath.
Really?
Yeah. It's just another, you know, it's a spotlight on Loki. Because I don't necessarily see him having such big of a future necessarily in the MCU. That's
well, no, not him. The explanation of things, the background, that like the actual timeline. Those events, not necessarily Loki himself. I think those things could have a bit bigger. They have a potential to have a bigger effect on the MCU than the others. It's not that much of a spoiler. I will say this, and this is why I think that some of the stuff that we're going to learn is going to be massive. That line, the Avengers were supposed to do that. That was huge. Like, the Avengers were supposed to do that. Like, that is that's a big, big important point. And when you guys, if you haven't seen the context of it, see it, you know,
Yeah. At this point with this third show, I'd rather just be at this point surprised than looking for it and not have it again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like when Nick wanted to immediately talk about the devil picture and make clear that it wasn't Mephisto. I was like, dude, I don't know why you wanted to lock in on that picture from the trailer a year ago. Like, I was like, they're in a church. I mean, maybe, sure, but they're in a church. So anyways, I know you have been excited about a movie coming out for a while. Got a chance to talk a lot with some of the cast and crew. In the Heights, man. It's out now, right?
It is out today.
Out on today. Day on in theaters and on a HBO Max. So tell us a little bit about what you thought about the movie before I tell you why musicals suck.
Well, first of all, you're wrong, Kyle, and I'm glad that I'm able to bring some culture and some correct perspective to this morning show, because or else I would apologize to all the viewers who all you would hear is just about how great everything Marvel is and how Sony is the leading light.
No. Hold on. Let me see. Power Rangers, Voltron. Okay, that's Star Wars. That is Marvel. Transformers. Okay, that's Marvel. More Power Rangers. Final Fantasy.
Actually, that applies more to Nick sometimes. Actually, I like making fun of him.
Back to the Future. Anyways, yeah, keep going, bud. It's good. We're having fun.
So, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a household name now, thanks to the success of the release of Hamilton. If something that happened right last year in 2020 was the release of that on Disney Plus, and it set the world on fire. I mean, everybody already knew that Hamilton was a great Broadway show, but now, thanks to being able to see it at home, you're able to experience it when you're not able to travel. Mm-hmm. And then I know that even in our area, Hamilton's coming next year, and a lot of people looked at tickets and went, no. I was one of them. I'm just happy to watch it on Disney Plus. I don't need to pay that much money for it. I could probably go to an average of maybe 10 metal shows with the price of admission that they're charging, maybe more, depending on the shows. But that's not the point. Point is, so now he had written another Broadway show called In the Heights, and which really hones in on a Washington Heights community, New York, obviously, and they with the help of the director of Crazy Rich Asians, Michael Chu, they brought this to life in theaters. And let me tell you, I am not the only one who is very, very excited about this. If you head over to our, I'm sorry, not Michael Chu, John Chu. I don't know why Michael was in my mind. If you head over to our website, our resident reviewer actually reviewed this yesterday and gave this all kinds of thumbs up. And so I know the Latin community is very excited about this. There's a lot of people super excited about this just because it's especially right now, 2021, and we're all kind of coming back out, and we are all just ready to let out a bunch of energy that we've been kind of hibernating with. It is such an amazing way to start summer.
Like the idea of block parties and hanging out and having fun outside, and I remember that stuff, man.
Yes, a lot of the themes that they do talk about are universal, but it's specific to the Latin community. There's going to be some parts in the movie where they're speaking Spanish. You're not getting subtitles because it's part of it's part of our language. It's part of it is what it is, but it focuses in on a lot of the central themes that we kind of face every day or have faced, let's say, young Latinos with their great work ethic, some that aren't able to progress in school because of the legal statuses, parents struggling to try and take their first year or their first borns into college as probably the first person in the family to go to college, and what kind of pressures that put on them. Mm-hmm. And then some of the stigmatisms about credit and not being able to open businesses and such because you don't have the background, you don't have the rapport for some people to give you an opportunity, and everything in between. And it's done through very, very smart, very bright, very positive songs, dances that really highlight, yeah, we might be going through a lot of things, but thanks to our community, thanks to our friends, our family, we're okay. We're going to make it. And it's a very, very, very well done film.
That's cool, man. When it was first released, the trailer, the images, like some of the first images, and then the first trailer, from the outside, looking in, it looks a lot like, oh, we're gonna see live action, or not live action, but a different version of what's that. West Side Story, and that's not what this is.
No, not at all.
I do think that the pandemic's pushback on PR left that image with a lot of people, because even Christine and my sister, even, and she's a musical fan, like she's a Hamilton fan. And it was last year when this was first released. She's like, are they just reimagining West Side Story? And I was like, no, I think it's going to be something completely different. But eventually we got more information, and it is its own thing. More, less Romeo and Juliet, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. There is no Romeo and Juliet in this story. Nobody's sacrificing themselves for somebody else. Everyone is focused on their goals and what they want to accomplish. But at the end of the day, I think what's beautiful about it is, and I'm speaking from the Latin perspective, obviously. Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the things that's always been there in my life is the fact that at the end of the day, when you come together for a meal, it's all ages. It's kids. It's grown-ups, teenagers, older elders, and you share a meal and you're able to share experiences, and they show that a lot where the community doesn't really exclude people. Everyone's very inclusive, they're very supportive of one another, and you're able to almost like as a younger person, gain that knowledge from them, get those stories of them growing up and some of the struggles, and then you apply those to your life, and it's a very, very beautiful thing. So I got a chance to talk to quite a bit of the cast. Unfortunately, I did not have Anthony Ramos, but Corey Hawkins, Leslie Grace, Melissa Barrera, Olga Meredith, Daphne Ruben Vega, Gregory Diaz, and Dasha Polanco. And of course, Jimmy Smits, who saved Leia. They are all up on our site now. There's one more that's going to go up today. But just, dude, it's a really good time. And if you can't make it to your theaters, which I would suggest you watch it in theaters, just because it's just, you're just gonna have more fun with it. You watch it on HBO Max, and have a good time.
I can always respect when something's good, right? There's lots of things that I don't like, but I can see where talent is. For example, funny story I tell all the time. Years and years ago, I walked out of, we were living on Fort Benning. I walked out of my room. It was nighttime. I was playing games. I walked out to go get a snack or something. My mom and sister were watching a singing competition on TV. I did not know it was American Idol season one. And this was like the first episode. And I watched this singer sing, and I was like, what's this? They're like, oh, it's this competition, whoever wins gets $1 million and a contract or some shit. I was like, oh, well, she wins. And it was the first episode, and my mom and my sister laughed at me. My sister's name is Courtney, my wife's name is Christine, and I often will their names and mix them up. Anyways, Courtney and my mom were like, this is the first episode. I was like, I don't care. She wins. It was Kelly Clarkson. I called it the first episode because she was very, very, very talented. And from what I had seen, I was like, yeah, that's, I think she'll win. But the reason why I don't like musicals is, again, those same two people's fault. My sister and my mother lived, breathed, bled Disney princess musicals songs and The Wizard of Oz. My mom was a Wizard of Oz fanatic, and I just, the repetition, the corniness, the girliness of, you know, I'm a manly man. I do manly things like punch bears and fight sharks and have big beards, and I didn't like any of that. So it was a long time before I saw a musical that that caught my eye. And do you want to know the first musical to actually make me go, huh, this isn't that bad?
Hairspray.
Rick Moranis's Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh yeah.
That changed my whole outlook on all of it. I was like, wait, these can be funny. Like, it doesn't have to be just this corny, all of a sudden everyone's singing and dancing about how badly they want the dude to kiss the fish girl that's probably underage, you know.
Little Mermaid's just not the greatest of movies. Let's just put that out there. It's my girlfriend's, one of my favorite girlfriends.
That's my sister's favorite.
In the face later. But there's a lot of things wrong with that. As a father, there's that first of all. But you know, that's not the point here. I just wanted to bring that
but
up.
But yeah, so I get to Little Shop of Horrors, and that's pretty early in my age. I'm in elementary school when I see that, and I found it fun and funny. I got to see Nightmare Before Christmas, which I don't count. It is a musical, but in general, when it comes to me, when I say musicals, I'm talking live action. You know, animated ones, they informed on why I didn't get into musicals until later, and only certain ones. But, you know, I saw Nightmare Before Christmas. I found that to be really entertaining. It was darker, different. There are a lot of TV musical whole episodes I love. The Buffy musical episode, Once More with Feeling. I can sing, well, not sing well, but I know the lyrics for all the songs except for one. Tara's song is just, what? I'm sorry. I know this is going to come out sexist, but why is it always the, like, think Muppet Christmas Carol and think that episode of Buffy. And I just had another one. I had a third example I was going to bring up, where when the girl character starts singing, Sally's song from Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, all three of those are the weakest of their of their thing. But anyways, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I like that. And that actually mixed animation and musicals. But I'll tell you, I did get into theater in high school, middle school. I got into stage in middle school. I never got to do a musical, but I did get exposed to more musicals. You ever hear of Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever seen the movie or the musical?
No, I've heard of it, though.
Okay.
That's as far as my knowledge goes.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris's run on Broadway was good, was really good. Lena Hall, I love Lena Hall. If anyone knows anything about theater musicals, you should know the name Lena Hall. She's also on the Snowpiercer series right now. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, again, is another one of those oddities. It deals with a young boy, young man, I should say, actually, that decides to make some body modifications in order to get out of East Germany with a U.S. soldier, you know, and take it from there. It might not be the most politically correct thing, but I'll tell you what, go ahead and try to cancel it. Anyone that's ever been involved with it, and they've got a bigger following than you do. It's a good, fun show. So in general, does this one interest me? No. Why? Because it's a romance story. It's a party story. It's a bunch of people out having fun. And that's not the... I need something... I need a talking plant.
And Kyle doesn't
plant.
Like having fun.
No, I love having fun. I want a talking plant just, that eats just, people. That's
he
fun.
He just said... He's like, they're having fun. I don't like it. That's
no,
exactly what he said.
I don't quote care it. About, like...
I'm going to CNN quote you.
Stuff, man.
Like, yeah, see? Anti-black block party. Everybody stay inside.
That is noisy. I'm old now. Don't you understand? I already tell people to get up.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry, Kyle. That sucks.
No, I no, what I'm meaning is just usually when it comes to musicals, I need something weird about it. It's got to really step away from that early exposure type stuff, that standard issue musical things, the really happy go. Christine, for example, she found the Greatest Showman to be too positive. Like for her, it was just too positive. What'd you think of it?
Dude, I saw that in theaters 3 times.
You liked it? That much.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Yeah. No, I loved it. Hugh Jackman is fantastic, man. I love him as an actor overall. And then for him to do this. And then also, so that movie was just a cluster of things I love. Hugh Jackman as an actor, musicals. And I grew up going to the circus. It was one of my favorite things to do before it got too politically correct to do so. And then it wasn't even more viable. It wasn't viable. By the way, I'm not against them getting rid of elephants. I 100% support that. You shouldn't be transporting elephants all over the country all year. That is messed up. Just really. Also, I grew up going to. We had a lot of trips to Reno specifically, and we would always stay at Circus. So like, just a big old mess of things, and so. Yeah, my daughter and I know that entire soundtrack.
My favorite band, Newfound Glory, actually did a cover of This Is Me, and the video is real fun. They filmed it all themselves. They even tried choreographing little parts of the dance. That's such a great band. If you guys have never seen a Newfound Glory video, go check them out. They do some of the coolest things. They make a zombie movie for Don't Let Her Pull You Down. They even make up names. They like mix George Romero with God, was it Dario Argento? Anyways, they're like mixing names, and all of the zombies though are like typical video girls and stuff. Their music videos are great, very very often. I when it comes to like the Disney, a few years ago we had the LRM ranks it and tried to become LRM's top 5 before all of a sudden they were like, hey, this Daily Show's doing really good and maybe we should work a top 5 segment into the Daily Cog. I don't know. What do you think,
yeah.
Manny? Yeah.
Tuesday's top 5.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's next Tuesday.
Thursday's top 5s too. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we'll work on it. Ladies and gentlemen, tell us, give us a title idea or something like that, and we can do a top 5 segment as part of the Daily Cog. I like that idea a lot.
Speaking of which, Here is a word from our sponsor.
Ah, I like it. You reminded of the segue. Yeah.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Yeah, do that. we actually, my state gets here in just a few weeks, legal growing starts. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to saving some money. It's a bit of an investment to start, but saves money in the long run, especially when you're one of those that are medically prescribed and using appropriately medically prescribed. That shit's expensive.
And it's can also be a hobby. You're all,
and it can also be a hell of a lot of fun.
So everything you spoke of right now, I have to say, well, going back to our original topic, so you don't hate musicals, you just hate types of musicals.
Right.
All right, because the way you came across the other day was like, you're like, well, I hate all kinds of musicals. I don't like
so small the ones that I end up do liking. So it's almost like anyone throws anything at me, and I'm like, no. No, Annie, no.
But
no,
we've established you kick people off your lawn already. So, I mean, dude, so on the other side of the spectrum, my group of friends that I hang out with, we've all been together in a room singing Be a Man just as recent as, I think, a year ago.
That's funny. That's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I gotta be honest. I know all the songs and all Disney songs. Basically, shout out to my cousin Jessica. But we can't go on we go on road trips just to sing Disney songs, man.
Wow.
And it's what we do. We know them all, and even some of the Mary Poppins stuff, and everything in between. Princess and the Frog, Beauty and the Beast, Mulan, just whatever, man. Just. Give the amazing soundtrack to Tarzan. Come on. But there's so many types of musicals too. Then for somebody who lives on the West Coast and doesn't necessarily have all the monies in the world, I appreciate the fact that we're getting a lot of musicals on film. Mm-hmm. I would have never been able to see Hairspray, and yeah. I love Hairspray. I thought the messaging was always great, and it was just a great blend of things. The one that I had most fun with, I think, just because it was just fun, was Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that because I like the genre of music. And then, hell, one of the ones I want to go to New York to watch is Beetlejuice. Some of those songs are actually really, really fun. But
I didn't know that had a musical.
Yeah, it does. It has a musical. It's been running now for a couple of years. The soundtrack is on Spotify. They even tried to make a Spider-Man one, but that one failed miserably. Have you ever heard the story of that?
Yeah, the Into the Dark or Out of the Dark, or something like that.
And yeah, yeah, that was way, that did not
way
work.
Over budget and.
Yeah, and people got hurt, and people kept getting fired. So it did not work. You know who had a good Spider-Man show? Universal Studios. They had a really good Spider-Man show. Even had the glider and everything. That was pretty cool. You know what they're working on right now? Because I just talked to the choreographers who are designing the part of the musical. Is there's going to be a Karate Kid musical.
No Mercy's gonna have to talk about something.
I know. Hey, the more Karate Kid content we can have, the better. So that's
really because do you remember last season?
No, that's yeah. Mm-hmm. I do, and I worry about next season, see if they can get it back online.
Yeah,
I mean, I think my thing with musicals is the way that a lot of times they're able to incorporate storytelling with music,
mm-hmm.
and just convey so much emotion and so much sometimes drama in the way that it's performed, depending on who does it. My favorite musical of all time, even when I was younger, to this day will always be Phantom of the Opera. And that stems from my dad giving me the original soundtrack when I was younger. And then he was very big into musicals. You know which one is very popular, and I've tried to get into it, and I just can't do it, is Les Miserables.
Yeah, no version of it. I can't even stand the fucking the screenplay, which we had to read for drama class once. I was
oh,
just
wow,
like,
nice.
Oh, my God. This is...
I just tried. I tried so hard. I just could not do it. It's fun. It's, Shrek has a musical, man. Like, and it's fun. And that one's super fun. Well,
I was going to bring up one of my absolute favorite animated films is help me, it's a Dr. Seuss one, it's not Horton and it wasn't Grinch, it's the other
the
one.
Cat in the Hat?
Lorax. The Lorax. I love that movie, and
that movie's
it's
fantastic.
Not a musical, but it does have a musical opening and a couple of musical moments, but it's not quite that full-on traditional. I love that movie, and those songs are catchy because they're almost meta in the way that they are used. It's almost like making fun of, in a good way, you know, tongue-in-cheek self-deprecation of musicals. The way the songs fit into their lives and the transitions, like it's so normal before, so normal after, and I really, really enjoy that. The "How Bad Could I Possibly Be" song, that's on my playlist. Like, I legit like that song.
The opening number and the closing number to that movie are so fabulous.
Great, so good.
And yeah, you're right. It's funny because I haven't gone in years now. But every time I watch The Lorax, something about the way the music is composed and put together, I'm like, I really want to go to Universal Studios. I don't know. The music has this like theme park kind of feel a little bit.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I really, really enjoy that.
And there's the little Lorax area there in Orlando's.
I think Hollywood has a Minion area, not a Lorax area.
Well, I mean. At Dr. Seuss Island, like, oh, there's the okay. whole See, land.
Yeah, you guys are a way bigger place than we do.
Yeah, there's a whole area with some truffula trees and then a stump and a nice. Plastic Lorax, and it's got the story of it there. And I'm hoping they've updated it. The last time I was there was like 2014, 2015. So maybe they've updated it, but that is such a great movie. And movies that are, I guess, musicals like that, those are more likely to be on my list. I'll tell you what, as we wrap up and transition just into music in general, I grew up listening to what my parents did, like most people. My dad is a product of top 40 70s and 80s. It's okay. It's what it is. Mostly rock, some pop. So REO's, Styx, and Boston, Steve Miller Band. But I also got exposed to some things from his brothers, my uncles. That's where I started learning things about punk rock and things like, mm-hmm. you know, the Ramones and the Sex Pistols and the Dead Kennedys and Fugazi later on and metal, oh God, the metal I could King Diamond is not necessarily something a 12-year-old should be getting a hold of, but why not? My musical tastes are so broad. While I have my daily driving playlist filled with punk, ska, pop punk, and what some would call emo, that like weird bridge between pop punk and emo in the early 2000s, you're taking back Sundays and whatnot. I also have Lead Belly and Fats Domino and like true blues, like old records. Like, it sounds so scratchy, the recordings I've got, because it's literally somebody recording off of old LPs and stuff. And orchestrated music, what most people call classical, even though that's a period, not a type, but orchestrated music in and of itself, dude, I hate dubstep. Like, I would love to punch Skrillex in his face. I'm not condoning violence. I'm speaking metaphorically, people. Don't do that. But Daft Punk, I'll listen to the fuck out of Daft Punk. As a matter of fact, Interstellar 5555, their animated video for their Discovery album, is in my top anime of all time. It's just that good. The music and then the animation. I don't know how I can sit there and listen to King Diamond and then go listen to Owl City's When Can I See You Again, or When Will I See You Again, or whatever it is from the end of Wreck-It Ralph, which is the best feel-good movie of all time. Wreck-It Ralph, yes, I love it. It's like my security blanket, man. I
really
love that movie. Yes, it's that bad anon thing. I'm bad, and that's good. I'll never be good, and that's not bad. There's nobody I'd rather be than me. If you can't find yourself in that saying, man, whew, that is such a good movie. Anyways, if I can do that, why are there so many purists out there? Like, it is death metal and death metal only, or it is country music and country music only. And I get made fun of for listening to foreign music. They're like, do you speak Spanish? Well, a little bit. Do you know Japanese? Not that much. Do you know Danish? No, but I'm still listening to this Danish metal band, this Japanese rock band, and this Spanish punk band. Why? Because the voice is an instrument itself, and all the music still sounds good.
No, I yeah, it's because it's about rhythm. It's about the emotion they will convey through that, through their instruments and then through vocals, right? So yep. I mean, just there's just some bands that some vocalists that are able to hit certain notes that you're just like, yeah, I you know, it's what makes music so great. So, I mean, just since you shared your American Idol story, I'm going to tell you when I decided that the show was bullshit and I stopped watching it. When Taylor Hicks won American Idol over Chris Daughtry. I thought it was bullshit. And
why do I recognize those names?
Chris Daughtry is still not necessarily, well, you should know he did he's done a bunch of things. It's actually one of Jason's favorite artists. And he's a very big fan of PC. Mm-hmm. And some of those songs. So he's done like I knew he should have won on American Idol when he did the cover for Bon Jovi's Wanted Dead or Alive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, this guy's a superstar. And then Taylor Hicks won and we never heard from him again.
Yeah, I don't even know who Taylor Hicks is.
Exactly my point. I was like, are you effing kidding me? Like, and then that's when I stopped watching and I never watched again.
Yeah, I really, really,
you can only like, the only honest to God good thing about that show was the auditions. Mm-hmm. and then it just got really kind of, all right, everybody's just singing every time.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of like
get repetitive.
How America's Got Talent. At first, it was like, okay, this is a good idea. Ooh, excuse me, good idea, because we're gonna get different things, different
right.
People,
yes.
You know. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nope, we're just gonna make it another singing competition. Half the winners are always singers. I know that there has been like a comedian. There's been a ventriloquist and some other things. That's what it should always be, because you've right. got the voice, you've got X Factor, you've got American Idol. Like, You've got Masked Singer. Now, Masked Singer's a bit different because it's already celebrities and it's guessing game. I've been surprised by a few voices, man.
I always rag on that show. Like, it's just so stupid. But I find myself like six episodes in, right? And I'm tuning in and I'm like so excited and trying to guess too. And I'm like, okay, maybe the show isn't dumb. Like, there's something there. I think it was because Nick Cannon is a host. Is the reason why I can't take it too seriously. Like, you change the host, you just changed the host, man. It changed the entire dynamic of that show. But yeah, like, who was it? There's just some people who you listen to their voice and you're just like, oh yeah, that's so and so. Like when Gladys Knight was on there, it was like her voice is iconic. Like, there's no mistaking that. And then
tell you who was the, I guess sort of the big surprise, man, was Wayne Brady.
Oh, I actually didn't see that one.
Yeah,
the one that surprised me was when T-Pain won. Because usually, I don't know if you're familiar with T-Pain, because you kind of white.
Yeah, sure. I don't know anything about the most auto-tuned user on Earth, and I'm on a boat. So come on now. I live around the Chesapeake Bay, man. I'm on a boat, like always, like even when I'm not. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. He did Stay With Me, and everyone was like, who the hell is this guy? And then I think he won. Mm-hmm. And then when he took off his mask, everyone was like, what the heck? Like, he could actually sing.
Yeah.
There's actually talent there. But hey, man, if the auto tune actually made you money, then hey, more power to you.
Go for it. Go for it.
It's funny because a lot of times you want to hate on an artist for doing something, but they're popular for a reason, and it's the consumer who makes it viable. It's not the artist. I hate that, because it's like, oh, so-and-so broke XYZ because they did this. It's like, no, as an audience member, whether it's social media, TV, movie, you empowered him by supporting him or talking about it. I mean, just look at the Kardashians. Caitlyn Jenner knows. I mean, they know. There's no such thing as bad press. If they're talking about you, you're making it. You're doing it. So
pretty much.
If you got in somebody's head enough where they have to comment on you and blah 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 blah, then you made it. You've done that's fame.
Yeah. Besides the obvious of, you know, breaking serious laws like murder or something like that. Yeah. No press is bad press. And the thing, you've said this before, and I agree, is when bad things happen and people, the first thing they do is apologize. It's like, don't do that. Just shut up. It'll go away.
No, but you're talking about murderers. How often do people start like idolizing, following murderers?
How many
times have you seen documentaries about these serial killers who then get fans and they start sending letters and I love you and blah 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 blah. So there's the proof right there, man. I think the one I was seeing a lot of. Okay, you know all that crazy stuff that's going on with like Pokemon cards and stuff like that.
Yep.
There's a lot of people, a lot of online that are like, oh, Logan Paul is the reason for this whole Pokemon mess, because he started opening up original packs online. And I laughed at that.
He's not the first.
Because I laughed at that and I was like, okay, so he's the one beating people up outside of Target. He's the one in camping out, and it's like, no, yes, he did it, but to say he's the catalyst to me making a decision that I'm gonna go and be an asshole and think I'm gonna buy all these Pokemon cards because they're gonna be the Pokemon card thing now is comics in the 90s where you're buying all this stuff for all this crazy amount of money thinking it's going to be worth something as an investment. And unless you have Golden Age, like that Charizard, like those first editions, it's not going to be worth anything.
Yeah.
But hey, TikTok told me to do it. That is the motto, I think, since last year. TikTok told me to do it. Yeah,
When it comes to that Pokemon stuff, dude, it's crazy. But I got some things to open up on Friday. I'm gonna save them because you know it's Friday night magic. So I got a couple of Kaldheim and a couple of Strixhaven things for us to open up and maybe talk about a little bit tomorrow. So yeah, as a matter of fact, I have an idea, and if we have any listeners out there that would be interested, I've thought about doing an occasional, you know, once or twice a month kind of broadcast from one of our local Friday night magics. And so if that's something you guys would be interested in seeing, partaking in, and enjoying the culture of Magic the Gathering, let us know in the comments below.
Hey, man, magic is big right now. Friends who I had never thought be back into magic are geez, man. It went from me and one other guy, and now I have, I think, probably about, no kidding, about 10 or 12 friends that are playing magic. And I'm like, nice. Where were you guys like these last few years? But I honestly play Commander because I don't have time for everything else. I'm not going to
learn all of the different mechanics.
You gotta learn all the mechanics, but I'm not gonna spend all that money on all these goddamn sets. I have my two core commander decks that I love, and then I'll always be building one, and then I'll take one out of rotation and make another one and do something different.
You could always play modern. You don't have to play standard. You know, modern allows you to go back as far as
I don't need the rules, man.
Base. It's like base. It's there's over a decade of cards you can use in modern. So like you're nowhere near as limited like on standard, where you have to use, you know, only the last four before the next four come out and shit. Modern isn't that way. It's just basically exactly what it says. The modern card. So like the last 10, 15 years or so. But anyways, yeah, let's do the closeout stuff, man. It's been a great Thursday live episode. Thank you for everyone that joined. Mr. or Mrs. or whoever Wasp is, come on now, don't be that person coming on here and spamming with the spoilers. That's just bad form. Anyways, you can come on to Multiverse Mondays with Loki Thursdays here in a few hours, and you can publish all the spoilers you want because that is a spoiler full show. With that being said, those of you that are watching on YouTube, check out that wonderful full information down below to follow us on social media. Those of you that can't see it, I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. He's at LRM_Emmanuel, at Riddle Me on, that's on Twitter, and at Riddle Me This _510 on Instagram. Check out LRMonline.com every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. The YouTube channel, subscribe, guys, hit the bell. All these great shows, the Marvel show, Star Wars show. Oh my God, the Star Wars news that is hitting today. As we are talking, I've got Cam and Mike we are planning the cantina for you guys and exactly to get you up to date on all the latest and greatest coming up from Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian season three stuff. Animeversal Reviews is doing Fully Cooly FLCL on Saturday. Yeah, lots of great stuff. So subscribe there and then subscribe to the podcast network wherever you get your podcasts from, because all of those videos are audio as well, and all the audios get at least a picture and go on video. Manny, tell us about some interviews.
Well, I mean, more than anything, go watch the In the Heights interviews. They're great. They're fantastic. The cast is always the super upbeat, and they really give you an insight of what the characters are going through, and just their feeling on the Latin community itself. It's fantastic. Also, I have producers, directors, choreographers for the Disney short, Us Again. So I had drew a blank. I drew a Kyle moment there. And then early next week, I got a lot of the cast, directors, and producer for the next Disney Pixar film, Luca, which includes Jim Gaffigan. So, yeah, hang in there. And then Gig is a freaking machine over there. He's been working hard, so you'll see quite a bit coming from him soon, as well as Nancy, who very jealous. It went to Fenway, I think, 2 days ago. And watch the Red Sox play. So, whatever.
All right. Well, guys, thanks so much. Check all that stuff out. We'll be here again tomorrow. And until then, enjoy the...